ministry here. Now, 37 years ago is when I left here. And when I say that, it is amazing to me that that many years have passed. It does not seem so. And every time I come back, I hear that another one of our friends has gone to heaven. And I remember Bill Wynn as a blessing to me and our church, a good teacher, a quiet man, but of strong faith. And I have good memories, just the memories of being here. And when you get a little bit of age on you, as we all do, then memories are important. And I have only good memories here. I only have good memories of our time here. So I'm comfortable coming here because my roots are here. And I am always lifted up and I'm strengthened and I'm built up when I come here because you love me. And it's good to be around people that love you. We want to be around people that love us, and I love you too. And you help me and you support me. And I understand what Paul meant when he wrote to the church at Philippi in chapter number 1. And he said, I thank God for every memory of you. I'm so grateful for the memories that I have of you. And then he goes on to say, because of our partnership in the gospel, there is something about working together with people and shouldering together with people that builds a bond. And we have a common goal, don't we? You and I, we have a common goal, though we don't see each other but once a year, maybe even more than that. We have a common goal. We have a common enemy. We fight against the same enemy, and we have a common future, though we do say goodbye to people, and I don't see them this year, and I won't see some of you maybe next year. We have a common future because we'll begin our second life. Death is just a little separation, and we'll see each other again, and we'll spend eternity together forever. Tom was talking about the Matters family, Mary and Brenda. What a unique family in this universe. If you will remember them, they were uniquely put together. Their family was just not like any other family. Their children were terrorists. They were just put together in such a way that, man, you knew they were in the room. And Marion was one of we cranked up that bus ministry years ago, and we had hundreds of kids come in, and it just exploded. And Brendan Marion was part of that. And old Marion dipped snuff, and he'd do it on the sly so you wouldn't know about it. But every once in a while, he'd forget, and he'd walk in the door, and he'd have a lip full of snuff. And I'd have to look at him and say, Marion, you can't do that when you're driving the kids around on the school, on the church bus. Man, you bring them to church. You can't be dipping snuff. And he'd reach down and pull that out and preach, you're right. You're right. And go on and drive the bus. I loved him. I promise you, I loved him. I loved that family. And we are put together differently, aren't we? All of us are. We all got our things. And you might not dip snuff, but you got some kind of sin somewhere. I just don't know about it. But I love you, and I'm so grateful to always be here. You encourage me, and you help me, and you send me on. And it's always good to see Tommy. We in our lives have friends, right? We have friends. And we have good, close friends. We have friends that are close to us. And I have had many in my life, but many of them come and they go. And though they are still friends, I just don't see them anymore. They have come and been a part of my life, and then they've gone. More rarer than anything else, as far as friends are concerned in life, is lifelong friends. Friends that were with you in the beginning and will be with you whenever you die. And Tommy is that for me. I did know him way back in, I probably knew him when in second grade. And back when he was thin and had hair. And we played ball together. And we grew up together. And we did everything together. And he is, till this day, my best friend. And I'm always glad to be able to be here and to be with him, just to see him and to be with him. I'm your missionary, and I have already been made aware of how much time I have today. And so I will, since there is no clock, however, in the back, most churches you go, there's a clock back there because people want you to know what time it is and what time you need to be finished. So I'm aware of the time. I might lose awareness over the next little while, but I am aware. And so I would like to try to do a bunch in a little short period of time, so give you an opportunity to go about your Christmas. I want to do three things this morning. Number one, I want to give you a little report. I love missions. I love missiology. I love the study of history. Acts is one of my favorite books in all the Bible. And those books right after that, talking about how the church got started. I just love it. I just can spend hours just studying what it was like. And Paul, who was the best missionary ever, greatest missionary ever, he left and he went on his first missionary journey and came back in Acts chapter number 14. He went to the church at Antioch, his church, and he gave a report to them. Now, here's my report. Here's what I've done since I saw you last. And the Bible says he stayed there for a long time. He was tired. He needed to rest. He needed to relax. He needed some recovery. And so he stayed there for a while, gave them a report, went on the second missionary journey. Acts chapter 18, he comes back to church. He gives a report. Here's what was happening. Here's what happened over here and over here and over here. And then he went on his third missionary journey. Of course, he didn't come back because he was killed. So that's kind of what I want to do today. I want to give you a little report. And I don't know if we have time for this or not, but sometimes when I preach, I let people ask a question or two about something you think about Russia, or if we have time, I'll look at the clock and see if we have time. But then if we don't, then I'll tell you a story and we'll be done. So let me give you a report. And in order to give this report, you're going to have to go back with me to the same time last year. I was here on December the 15th last year. Can you wade through this past year with me? Do you remember this past year at all? If you can, go back with me to the same time on December the 15th. It was a great day. We had no idea what was about to happen. And so we was just cooking, and it was a good day. And you gathered, and I was encouraged, and we enjoyed our day together. And you blessed us. You invested in our kids in Russia, our orphans in Russia. The word orphan is not used very much. We talk about kids, we talk about children, we talk about children's home. We don't like to use the word orphan much anymore, but it's a real thing. Orphans. The Bible says truly that true religion and undefiled is to take care of those widows and those orphans. And nobody has done that in these past 3 years like you have. And I think God has a special heart for those orphans. I have in my lifetime, for the first time in my life, I am a true orphan. My mom died in October. And up until that moment, I have always had in my life either a mother or father. For the first time in my life, I don't have either. But all my life, I have known the one thing that my mother gave me, the one thing, the stability that my mother gave me, was that I knew that she loved me. I don't care what happened. There were times when I felt nobody else did, but my mama loved me. I had that. I had that in my life. My mama loved me. Can you imagine what it might be like to be born and to never know that? Think with me. Try to think with me for just a minute. What it might be like to live in this world and look around and not even know that your mama, because she doesn't exist. You don't have a mama. You don't have a daddy. And you don't know if anybody loves you. Try sometimes to put yourself in that position. There is something even worse than not having a mother or father. I have learned over these years, because we work with kids who do have mothers and fathers, but their mothers and fathers have thrown them away. That is worse to me than not having a mother or father at all. To think that my mother and father had me, looked at me, and said, "We don't want you. You're not worthy. You're not worthy. We're going to give you away and see if somebody else will feed you. And somebody else will take care of you." Those are the kids that God says to you, church, and to me, church, you take care of those kids. And you make sure that they know that there is someone in this universe that does love them. Amen. Cares for them. Cares for what happens to them. And cares about their eternity. I did not go to Russia with the intent of working with orphans. It came my way, and I could not refuse it. The biggest part of what we do now are those kids. Last year when I was here, you invested in kids just like that. Hundreds of them. And we took your confidence in us, and we took that investment back to Russia. The day after Christmas, I headed back to Russia. We took what you invested in us, and we began to feed kids Christmas dinners, give kids who would not have it otherwise Christmas gifts, Christmas days. We bought for them medicines and vitamins and cold weather medicines to get them. You don't understand cold weather. Some of you are all wrapped up this morning, and it's 46 degrees outside. In Russia, when it gets to be 46, we're wearing shorts and t-shirts. When it gets below zero, as it is right now, it doesn't get above freezing until May sometimes. And with that comes all the viruses and all the things. You talk about viruses. We have viruses on top of viruses when we get back into cold weather. So we fed them. We tried to heal them. And all along, every time we had this outreach, every time we were given to them, every time we took what you invested in us and we presented these gifts to them, we presented these medicines to them, we gave them coats, we gave them clothes, we gave them shoes. On the tail end of that, they were then open to us to give the gospel to. Always remember, bottom line to everything that we do, is to give us the opportunity to tell boys and girls who would not hear this story, the Christmas story otherwise, that Jesus came and he lived and he died and he rose again and he's back in heaven waiting for them, and they can go there too if they'll receive him. That's bottom line. God forbid that these children would go to hell warmed and clothed and fed, having never heard the gospel story. So what you do is invest in things that we can do and give. And I thank you for that. I thank you on behalf. I am here standing here today on behalf of every little boy, every little girl, every teenager, every orphan, every child, every person that was helped by your investment. I'm here on their behalf. Please believe me, I'm here on their behalf thanking you. I am grateful to you. You wrote a check, you gave a dollar. I don't know what you did. You know what you did. On their behalf, I sincerely thank you. We spent all of January, all of February doing just that. Going from kid to kid, from orphanage to orphanage. We went down into Ukraine. There's an abandoned orphanage down there where we buy winter's worth of firewood and coal just to keep them warm, because they're in the middle of a war zone down there, and they've been abandoned. We do the same thing down there. We go into the Muslim country of Adygea, and two orphanages there have been opened to us so that we can go in and do the same thing in Muslim country. And they hear the story of Jesus for the first time in Muslim country. We went and did that all of January, all of February, and we were and people came to Christ, and people heard the story, and people were helped, and doors were opened for us, and we laid down one night, and we were feeling seriously, spiritually, 10-foot tall and bulletproof. And we woke up the next day and the world had changed. To where we couldn't shake hands with people. And we couldn't tell who they were because their faces were covered up. And people began to panic. We looked around and people began to panic. And they began to lose their jobs. They began to lose their friends. They began to lose their own health. And then the reality of death became real to us because around us we began to lose people. They died because of this mysterious virus. And I said to myself, okay, you have been placed here for such a time as this. And for this we have Jesus, but what's going to happen to churches at home? Are we going to be able to continue to do this? Are we going to be, what's happening in the world? We've never seen anything like this before, right? Right? We've never been through something like this before. And so these thoughts are going through my mind. And I want to say to you, you, Corinth Church, you never missed a beat. You never lost a step and you never blinked. And I never have been more proud of you than I have been in this past year. Because you're not a missionary. You don't maybe know what it's like to know that every month I'm dependent on what you do as to whether or not I stay where I'm at and do what I'm doing. There's a dependency. And I'm saying to you, I thank you. Last year was great. Our Christmas outreach that you funded, that you helped us with, that you invested in, was the best we had ever done. It was the best we'd ever done. And just in time before all this craziness happened. So the question is, what do we do now? Question for me and question for you. What do we do now? What if... My goal today is to be encouraging, but I want you to think about this. What if 2021 rolls around and we look back and think, wow, 2020, I wish it was 2020 again because 2021 is so horrible. What if that was to happen? Oh, Jesus, I heard somebody say, yeah. We don't know what 2021 is to bring. So what do we do now? What do you do? I ask people, pastors, I ask preachers that I'm familiar with, and I talk to, what you going to do now? What happens now? If everything smooths out and we go back to like we were, what if it gets worse? What do we do? I think it was Lee Iacocca who said this, at one time head of Chrysler years ago. He said, don't ever forget that the main thing is to keep the main thing the main thing. And that's what we must do as people, as a church, as missionaries. What is the main thing? The main thing is getting the gospel to the ends of the earth until he returns. That's the main thing. Last thing Jesus said to us before he left this earth was, go into all the world and preach and make disciples. Preach the gospel, make disciples. He said, I'm going to give you power, and you will go to Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and to the utter parts of the world. He said, this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world, then shall the end come. The main thing is to preach the gospel. We, no matter what, cannot be distracted. We cannot be distracted. If all we do is focus on the physical side of this pandemic, if all we do is think, oh, are we going to make, we cannot be distracted, because while we are distracted, people are truly dying. People truly are falling away. We cannot be distracted. So, what do? We're going to do this year, same thing we did last year, except more. We're going to do more this year than we did last year. We're going to go to the same, I leave here the day after Christmas again this year. I'm going to wade my way through all of what that is out there and get back over to where God's called me to be. Yesterday was the worst day as far as people contracting the virus in Russia as has been in the last year. It's the highest peak, the highest day. Somebody looked at me and said, "You still going?" I said, "I'm still going. I don't have it yet. I sometimes wish I'd go ahead and get it and get it over with so I can go on about my business." So I'm going to wade through it all and keep on doing what God's called me to do, not being stupid, being as wise as I can be. But we cannot be distracted and hunkered down in a bunker somewhere while the world goes to hell. I haven't been called to do that. This is not the first time there's ever been a pandemic in this world. This is not the first time there's been pestilences, there's been wars, there's been persecutions all through life, and there will be again. And people look to us, our people look to us, people who depend on us, our kids look to us. Our kids, those orphans I'm talking to you about, they already realize this is what we do every year. And they've already been writing me and said, "When are we going to do this? When is our Christmas outreach? Are you coming back this year?" And they're looking to us. If I say to them, "Well, I'm scared and not be able to do it this year, wait until next year," this whole year, and we've lost them. So we got to keep going. We've got to keep up. So, never been a greater need than this year. If there ever was a time when we need to do our outreach, it is this year. There's never been a greater time, a greater need than this year. So we go back and we keep on doing the same thing we're doing. All those orphans that you helped last year, we got to help them again this year. Except there's more of them this year. One thing about working with orphans is there's a never-ending supply. As long as there's sin in this world and as long as there's alcoholism rampant like it is in Russia, there will always be a supply. There's a turnover every year, every year. And so we go back. But this year we got to do more. I was on the phone a couple of days ago with the people who work with us there in Russia, part of our staff that's there. And they said, "Buddy, we went to the pharmacy. We can't even get aspirin. There's no aspirin. There's no Theraflu. Theraflu is what everybody in Russia uses when they see. There's not just virus. Not just coronavirus. There's just plain old viruses. In Russia and in some parts of this world, you got to realize, if we get a cold here in America, we stay home and go to bed and get well. If you catch the flu in some places in Russia and other parts of the world, it's possible you might die. There's a big difference. And they said to me, "We can't find aspirin now. We can't find flu medicines. We don't have the supplies like we have in years past. What are we going to do?" And so we're trying to contract with companies in Germany and in Belarus to try to get container loads of these medicines in just to treat simple viruses so that they don't become worse and kill people. So we've got that to deal with. We've got viruses upon viruses. We are starting a brand new ministry in the midst of all that's going on. I thought, what can we do? Let's do something new. Let's start something new. Let's reach out and do something new. That'll be unexpected. The devil won't expect that, so let's do that. When I first went to Russia, I'll tell you this story. You can forget about the questions because we don't have time. So when I first went to Russia, I went to the first orphanages I ever went to, and I gathered a bunch of kids together. Anybody that would listen, I started teaching to them. And in that first group of young people that we taught, now 23 years ago, we still have some of those kids who are working on our staff from that first group. They are now teachers. They are now leading orphanages. They are now heads of groups in orphanages. They are now pastors in some of our churches. But not all. Some listened. Some came to play with us and to have the refreshments that we brought with us and eat our cakes and drink our Cokes, and that's what they came for. But they listened and they knew that we were trying to do good. And one was a little girl. Her name was Ludmila. Ludmila went to all of our classes, and I remember her well, but she never became a Christ follower. Here's what happens a lot of times to little girls who leave the orphanage and they don't have any place to go. There are scavengers in this world who wait for that to happen, and they grab these girls. And human trafficking is a real thing. And they take them to places like Moscow and St. Petersburg, and they work them in the streets. And most of the prostitutes that you find on the streets of Moscow and St. Petersburg and the big cities, they came out of orphanages, and we just couldn't get them all. We just couldn't keep them all. They somehow slipped through. One of them was Ludmila. And for 10 years of her life, she walked the streets and lived that life, gave herself away, and was caught up in human slavery and that kind of lifestyle until she decided, I have got to get out of this. And she remembered us. And through a whole series of events, she got back to a group of people that knew us. I don't know how exactly they knew us, but they knew me. And they got her back in touch with us, and she came back to Smolensk. And she became a Christ follower. That little girl out of that orphanage who gave her life away, or was taken away from her. All of her life was taken away from her. She came back. She knew what we had done. She knew about those Christmas programs. She knew about us trying to give to people and to help people and to love people and trying to expand the love of God and the kingdom of God. And she came back. And this past year, she became a Christ follower. That is a glorious thing. Come to find out, she is an artist. And she's a magnificent artist. And she said, I want to use my gift for God. I want to try to bring happiness to people. I want to tell my story so that nobody falls into what I fell into. I said, would you do a picture for me? That I can give to some of the people that helped to bring this to you. And so she painted this picture. It's a scene from Smolensk where we minister, where our base is. And I wanted to give it to Tommy as just a reminder of your investment and how what happens when we invest our time. I sent one to you, I think, as well. She did that as well. Ludmilla is one of hundreds that we need to reach. So this year, we're going to begin in this Christmas season, a ministry of outreach and recovery to those young ladies and young men who have left the orphanage and they're on the streets. We're partnering with a group of people in Moscow who are beginning this ministry. And during the Christmas season, we're going to take the same gifts that we give in the orphanage and go to these orphans who are still who are on the streets now and give these gifts and invite them to come back. Invite them to come back. It's all still a part of orphan ministry. We think of orphans sometimes as little children, little kids that are without mamas and daddies. There's orphans who are walking the streets and caught up in this kind of slavery. We need to reach them as well. So we're going to go on. We've got so much to do this year. No matter what happens this year, we've got stuff to do. We need to finish a church in Adige, in that Muslim region of Adige. We need to finish that church. We need to reach it. There's an unreached people group in Siberia called the Buryats that for years we wanted to reach into that unreached people group and start a work there. We need to start that this year. This year, in the midst of everything that's going on, every crisis brings with it the opportunity to be a better blessing. We who know the answers have every reason to be encouraged because people are needy, more needy than ever. Maybe in America it's not so much materially. Maybe it's not so much people are going hungry or without medicines, but they are scared. Two things I've noticed this year about people and believers are not the exception. Two things have happened and has filtered into our lives. I'll give you these two things, a story, and I'll be done. Here's what's happened. Be careful. Be careful. Fight against this. Guard against this. Number one is this. Doubts have entered into our lives. Doubts about our heritage. Doubts about our forefathers. Doubts about whether we really are who we are. Doubts about whether or not maybe we are oppressors. I don't think I am, but the guy said I was, so maybe I am. Doubts about our faith. Doubts about whether or not we can trust our faith or do we put our faith wholly in science? Doubts. Do you know the very first question in the Bible? Do you know what the very first question in the Bible is? It was posed in order to cause Adam and Eve to doubt. Did he really say? Did he really say? And Satan has used doubt. He used doubt to destroy them. He'll use doubt to cause you to fall. How is it possible for us to fight against doubt? We fight doubt with the Word. That ain't deep. That's just fact. You can only know how to live if you have the foundation of God's Word. If you don't know His Word, if you're not in His Word, if you don't care about His Word, then you will be driven by every wind of doctrine. You'll be unstable in all your ways. You'll be double-minded. You won't know up from down. You won't know which way to turn. His word gives us defense against doubt. Do you know that there are people who make their living in America? They make a tremendous living. And all they do is promote doubt, confusion. Fight it with the word. Secondly, things I've noticed have happened even to believers is irrational fear. It's all over. An irrational fear. The Bible says that fear brings a snare. It handcuffs us so that we are not able to do what we should do. God says in His Word over 100 times. He talks to us over 100 times in His Word about fear. Why? Why is there so much in the Bible about fear? Because there's a lot in this world to be afraid of. God knew there'd be a lot to be afraid of. Again, it's not the first time there was ever pestilence or famines or wars or persecutions or pandemics. They have always been, they will always be, and they give us reason to fear. But God said in 2 Timothy 1:7, I have not given you a spirit of fear. There are things that make us fearful. But God does not want us to live in such a way that that fear hinders us from living. We gotta live. We gotta live. Time is passing us. We have people all around us that we love who are leaving us. And we've got grandchildren coming along and their children. They need us to be active in the gospel. We can't be afraid to live. Psalm 23 is loved by all of us, by Christians down through the years. And it says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, what does it say? I will fear no evil. Why? For thou art with me. That doesn't mean that there won't be bad things. It just means that when the bad things come, He is with me. Bad things will come. It rains on the just and the unjust. We're not going to be exempt. We're going to get sick. Our friends are going to get sick. There's going to be viruses. There's going to be cancer. It's not going to go away. It's always going to be, I will be with you. My rod and my staff, they will comfort you. When my kids were little, sometimes at night they would get afraid. And they'd wake up in the night. And I would say to them, come here. And I would let them lay on the floor beside me. And they would lay down. I'd put a pillow down and a little pallet and a pillow. But instead of putting a quilt over them, I had this old raggedy robe. I wore it for years and years. It had holes all in it, but it was mine. And they knew it was Daddy's. And instead of putting a blanket over them, I would put my robe over them. And it was almost like magic. I would put that robe, and within seconds, they would sleep. Why? Because they felt like Daddy was there and comforted him. And everything was okay. Jesus said, I am with you. He's like getting up in my mama's lap. He's like Daddy coming home and being there whenever you hear that strange noise that you don't know what it is, but Daddy's there. He's like that, but 100 times more. And what if the very, very, very worst happens? What if the very, very, very worst happens? Well, the Bible says, we shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. That ain't bad. Very worse happens. Very worse happens this year. And we go on to heaven. There's a lot of people there. I got a son there. My mom and dad are there now. Friends that passed away this year, they're there. That ain't bad. That ain't bad. If we believe, if we trust, we can live on and do what we need to do this year without fear. Without fear. Let's bow our heads together. I am so grateful to you for listening to me today. Thank you for helping us do and be in this past year. And I am deeply, deeply thankful for you helping us go forward this year. I give you my word that we'll do our best. I need you to keep on doing your best so that we can keep on doing our best. Heavenly Father, thank you again for this church. Thank you for these people. Thank you for all that you've done here. Thank you for the legacy that this church is. I pray, dear Heavenly Father, that it would continue and even grow when others are falling and stuttering and not knowing what to do in light of pandemics. May we charge forward and surprise the world by what you can do, no matter what the day. In Jesus' name, amen.
Let's stand together. Have the musicians come to the instruments.